Blog Talk Radio.
We're on. You can give us a call. 515-605-9708. 515-605-9708. And you can talk about anything that's going on in the news today.
Yes.
You can talk about anything that's going on in the news today. So, yeah, it's something to that. But for those who haven't seen the story, let's talk about that. Let's just talk about that because it's very disturbing.
But they say he had molested her for a while. He had touched her breast and been rubbing on her for a little while before he got up and decided to rape her. So you would think that somewhere along the line, somebody would have said something or called for help.
Did he know this person?
He was homeless, so maybe it's a face he recognized from a daily routine, but I don't think it was somebody that he knew personally. Maybe it was a daily passenger. I don't know.
Let's look and see. Bizarre story, man. But I often ask that question about people watching things happen and people watching things go down.
That's not the first time I've heard about a story of somebody being raped on a train.
All I can say is women, be careful out here, man.
Please. Damn,
how I froze up rubbing my nose. Hold on one sec. I'm having internet.
People
my
need
internet
to speak
buzzing.
Up when they see a crime happening in front of them. I'm Shayna Humphrey.
I'm Jason Martinez, and this is all in the...
Uh-oh.
...response to the recent rape of a woman on the Market Frankford line. Our Jeff Cole live in Upper Darby tonight. Jeff.
Yeah, Jason, we've talked to investigators who say, in point of fact, while this woman was being attacked, there were passengers on the train. They did apparently witness what was going on and apparently did nothing about it. SEPTA tonight is defending its response to the rape on the L, and it's asking, though, passengers who see something wrong to please help them. At Upper Darby, 69th Street Station, passengers of the Market Frankfurt line are outraged.
The attack was brutal. It was wicked. And the worst part is when the people were watching.
Several people watching, some within arm's length, says Upper Darby superintendent of police, whose officers are investigating the rape of a female passenger on the Market Frankfurt line Wednesday night on a train heading west to Upper Darby.
It's a horrendous act. And unfortunately, we live in a time right now where there are horrendous things, as always.
Arrested is 35-year-old Fishton Noy, who investigators say is seen on a train security camera sitting next to the alleged victim, touching her, and then raping her. Investigators say a female SEPTA employee called in the attack, which was relayed on radio about the attacker disrobing on a train at 56th Street Station.
Fishton Roy, or Foy, what's his name? Fishton Foy. I just want to go into the record. I want to enter into the record that this is not a foundational black American dude with no name like that.
Right.
This nigga from somewhere else. So don't look at me and think that I'm him out in these streets.
Right. Right.
This is bizarre.
About the attacker disrobing on a train at 56th Street Station.
Westbound train currently at 56th Street. Train car 1102, male disrobing on the train.
SEPTA says Noy was arrested at 69th Street Station on the train in the act. This afternoon, SEPTA's general manager and its police chief met reporters at the station to urge passengers to speak up when they see trouble.
You believe the agency's response was adequate and timely and did what it was supposed to do?
It was a very quick response, and let me say to everybody, there are 28,000 cameras on the SEPTA system. You will be videoed.
Any idea why anybody couldn't get to them then?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about less than 3 minutes, Jeff. And in 3 minutes' time, police are coming in contact with that person and making an arrest. I think that's pretty good.
So we were asking Chief Nestel there why, if there was a call made at 56th Street Station of the man disrobing, why they couldn't get to him earlier, and you heard his argument there that they caught him within 3 minutes.
Okay. So somebody dropped the ball somewhere. 3 minutes is a good response time for police.
That's very reasonable.
I mean, I can't see anything short of having a cop on the train. But this is... Go ahead. Go ahead.
I wonder if that train system runs like the subways here in New York, where you have numerous stops before you get to the last stop. So in between stops, you think someone would have gotten off and gotten help or something. If this rape actually happens from one stop to the next, how long are these actual stops? How long are the journeys between stops?
I don't know. I haven't seen any video. Not looking for any video. It's just one of them horrible stories, man, that I hate to hear.
Horrible.
Ladies, get you some pepper spray, some mace.
Yeah,
you know,
gun,
something.
A knife.
Get your gun, knife. Move from the city if you have to. I mean, get back down to the country. I'm going to say this, man. You know what's funny? I was listening to Hassan Campbell on Clubhouse. I was listening to somebody else listening to him and, you know, their commentary on it. I don't listen to Hassan Campbell. But I was listening to what he was saying on Clubhouse, and he was talking about, you know, these big urban centers, you know, Atlanta, New York, Chicago, L.A. He's like, these are energy points on the earth. And I'm like, that's kind of weird, spaced out shit. Because, but they're usually points of not really positive energy for black people. Going to the big city did not help us at all. Crowding into Chicago, crowding into New York, Philly, all these, you know, these places that we came did not help us as people. We were better off in Chitlin, Switch Branch, Alabama, or across the creek, Mississippi, you know?
Yeah.
For real. But the promise of jobs and greater economic opportunity, I get it, you know, wanting to get away from the plantations of the South. Or the perceived plantations of the South. Nowadays, I will say the South is probably one of the nicer places in the country you could stay.
Nowadays.
As a black person. But these cities, man, look at what they were talking about Chicago. The murder rate has already surpassed last year this time. I think it's like over 600 murders in Chicago right
really?
Now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like 400 shootings or some crazy shit like that right now. 600 murders.
You got 2 months in a year.
And I guarantee you most of these victims are black or Latino.
Definitely.
Just like most victims in most cities. Other people aren't killing themselves like this, fighting for resources in the city. So for real, some people, man, especially if you're a single woman, man, you might find you a better life in a smaller city, smaller town. If you don't have anybody to really look out for you.
Right.
Because this city life ain't no joke. These niggas out here crazy. White folks crazy. Everybody crazy. For real. Get stuck in traffic out here and get into it with somebody.
Road rage.
Man, people get shot on the interstate every week here. Maybe more than once. That's just what makes the news.
And when did it get so serious? Road rage is a real thing. It's crazy.
When traffic got serious. That's when road rage got serious. Yeah, we ain't got nobody on the line tonight, so we're going to keep pushing, man. Let's push into this Haiti thing, man. Let's talk about Haiti a little bit before we get up out of here. My prayers go out to the young lady in Philadelphia, or old lady. They didn't say her age. That was, you know, raped by a gentleman. Go ahead.
Would you have helped? I mean, I would have helped by calling for help. But as a woman, this being a homeless man and me not knowing if he had any type of weapon, I don't think I would have tried to pull him off, or I wouldn't have gotten close up on him.
I would have helped him.
You would have gotten up on him? Well, you're a man.
I would have helped him.
I would have been just like maybe screaming, but I don't think I would have went and tried to pull him off.
First of all, you butt naked or trying to get naked and you trying to have sex, you ain't got no goddamn weapon. We finna have to go. I can't even watch it.
Man is a weapon too, but you homeless. You don't know what's on that man's mind. He might pop my neck.
Man, look, without saying too much, I roll heavy. Everywhere. Philly, New York, anywhere you see me, yeah. That just is what it is. I don't do gun laws.
You break the law?
I don't do gun. I live in the South. That's all I'll say. That's the only thing I can say. We got pretty relaxed gun laws down here. But all that, you know, big city shit, California shit, where they don't want people to have guns, when all the criminals got guns.
Right. All the criminals got guns. Exactly.
Exactly.
But you're right. They didn't mention her age or race or anything.
Mm-mm. They didn't. But you can pretty much guess what her race was.
Yeah.
Sad to say. If nobody got up to do anything, you know who it wasn't. You know who Mr. Foy Annoy wasn't doing it to.
I want to know how old this person was.
I don't know. This dude was 35. Real fucking sicko. This guy out of here. That's why I can't say I'm pro-life. People like that. And you know, it's something horrible about the R word. I can't watch it on movies. You know, they like to try to put those scenes in movies and, you know, television shows and stuff. Yeah.
What's the R word?
Rape.
Oh, the algorithm. I forgot.
It's okay. I mean, we talk about news stories. We ain't talking about raping nobody. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, hey. Excuse me.
That's very horrible.
Yeah, but I don't like even watching that. But see, that's where you kind of draw that fine line between what Hollywood says is entertainment versus, you know, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, man. They need to stop putting it on television, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Society's too over-sexualized, and I think people are starting to figure that out.
Because people get desensitized to things when they see them over and over again.
Yeah, when you see that on television or when you hear people constantly talking about it, you know, on these shows and kind of trivializing it. Even when you see Tarana Burks and the whole Me Too movement always on the news, kind of clout chasing about it. You know, all of that stuff desensitizes you to hearing these types of stories. So when you encounter something like this, hell, half the motherfuckers probably wanted to watch. Take that into consideration, too. There's some sick people out here.
It's a very sick world.
It's a very sick world. So that's why I choose not to put that into my mental. So when I see something going down like that, I'm probably going to react and, you know, do what I got to do.
Well, one thing about they had a very clear photo of him, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously he didn't care. To do that in front of everybody, he obviously didn't care. But, you know, get rid of this guy, man. Get this guy the fuck out of here. Get him out of here. Exactly. So let's move on to this Haiti story, man, because Haiti's been in the news a lot for the last 4 months. We've had about, you know, four major stories out of Haiti in the last 4 months. First, in June, I think it was June or July, the president was assassinated. President Morsi, Jovenel Morsi, I believe that's the name, Morsi. Moise or something like that. Let me know what it is, y'all. I hate to sound ignorant on here, but I'm not a French Creole speaker. So it just is what it is. So that happened in July. His wife survived. Then they turned around, had an earthquake, 7.2 magnitude earthquake. Then there was a hurricane, tropical storms. Don't forget about all of those. Several mudslides. You know, just issues, you know, just from that. Then you have the border crisis in the United States in which they came, you know, a bunch of Haitian refugees were down on the border and they were basically beaten in some cases by Border Patrol agents, forced to live under bridges. You know, they weren't welcome in like the Afghanis. They weren't given no nice big chunk of change in social programs, anything like that. These people were literally beaten back like an invading army. They don't even do Mexicans like that or Guatemalans and people that come up through there like that. But, you know, you have a group of black people show up somewhere that need asylum. It's a problem.
Yeah.
But then
look at the trouble.
Right. But here's the latest situation. You have Christian missionaries. Was it the Christian Aid?
We discussed Christian Aid something.
Yeah, let me pull it up. I'm just going to go and pull it up. So let's just go on go with the story from today. I got a Wall Street Journal story on that as well. And it talks about this gang and what's going on with the gangs in Haiti.
But don't they believe in guerrilla warfare over there, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Everybody do that.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Yeah, everybody do that.
It's not surprising that they took missionaries and held them hostage.
Yeah, Steven says Haiti gang wants $17 million for the missionary hostages. Damn. Yeah, $17 million.
I think it's a million each, I think. That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a million each. But I want to talk about something that's happening right before our eyes that we just need to watch out for. That's all I say. We need to watch out that they're not once again, you know, hitting us with the trick knowledge as far as this is concerned, because it seems like they're trying to get some kind of narrative going. They're trying to destabilize Haiti. See, that's how America rolls, man. That's how our government rolls. We destabilize countries' governments before we go in and put our people in. And Haiti's been one of those states, and it's almost to the point where it's, you know, a failed state. And that's what this Wall Street Journal article is about. And this came out today, and it was written by Ryan Duke and Jose de Cordoba. So gangs threaten to tip Haiti into a failed state. Criminal rings like the one that kidnapped American missionaries control as much as two-thirds of Haiti, a lawless scenario that threatens regional stability. So I want to read this story first before I show the video because I want to make a point. Gangs in Haiti, such as the one holding the group of American and Canadian missionaries for ransom, have become so powerful that they now challenge the government for control of as much as two-thirds of the country's territory, according to the human rights groups and analysts. The brazen daylight kidnapping this past weekend of a group of 17 people, including five children, is the latest sign that gangs are becoming the Haitian equivalent of Somali warlords while turning large parts of the country of more than 11 million people into no-go zones. So first and foremost, they already comparing them to Somalian warlords.
Hmm.
So I guess they're looking for a reason to go into Haiti like they did Somalia. Now, I want to say that's where Black Hawk Down happened at, was in Mogadishu, Somalia. And you see how that situation went for those who've seen the movie. The growing power of gangs threatens to turn Haiti into a failed state. Words like failed state, terms like that, words like Somalian warlords, you know, things like this. Yeah. This is all things that the media does to condition us to get ready to go watch them go into Haiti and slaughter a bunch of people.
Right. They're shaping the narrative.
They're shaping the narrative. We're re-engineering the narrative on the Big Mike Talk.
That's right.
Real dude uprising. Absolutely. They're crafting a villain. Absolutely. A failed state. An outcome that could send shockwaves of instability and migration across the region, especially in the Dominican Republic, with which Haiti shares an island, and pose a challenge for President Biden. They're already trying to craft a hero, too, but he's sleep. He's sleeping old in Henri, old Henri motherfucker. These gangs, this is a quote, these gangs are the modern equivalent of warlords, said Eduardo Gamarra, a scholar at Florida International University who studies Caribbean countries. They are better armed than the police, and they outnumber the police. Mm-hmm. That's the situation in America. Is Chicago not a failed state, a failed municipality?
Right.
Because it's the same situation there. It's the same situation here. The cops are outgunned and outnumbered. So I don't understand how all of a sudden that makes them warlords.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Crafting a villain. Real dude uprising said it best.
And it was a perfect storm when they kidnapped those 17 missionaries. Now it really makes them look bad.
Exactly. Exactly.
But we ought to stay our behinds out of other countries, first of all. We have enough problems over here that they can go fix.
Exactly. Let me go on and finish this. I don't want to really name no gang names on here. because now it's just a bunch of stories about other people. I'll let y'all read that in the Wall Street Journal, okay? I just want y'all to get the gist of what I'm saying, what the narrative is becoming. They're shaping the narrative.
Crazy.
So, you know, we got to, I say this, as black people, man, we don't always see eye to eye culturally. You know, I know they say Haitians don't like us and, you know, Caribbeans don't like us. But at the same time, as an African-American, we still have to have compassion for other black people, especially black people and black nations in the Western Hemisphere. But how did Haiti get like this, and why would they have a reason to do this to Haiti of all countries? And I want people to that don't know the story. It's pretty a well-known story, the 1804 independence of Haiti. V Lane said, that's the real shit, Ronnie. Stay your ass in the USA and fix it. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
What would you go in these places for, getting over there and getting stuck?
Absolutely. Right. So, yeah, I'm not going to get into these gang names, but you can check that out on the Wall Street Journal. I actually put the link in the description. After the show goes off, I'll put the link in the description to the article. You can read it yourself. But let's get into this video, because now we can start to understand what they're, you know, how they're putting that in the news as well. Now, what were these missionaries doing over in Haiti? That's what I want to know. Because missionaries tend to like to hang out at orphanages and shit. And that's just weird.
They used to have a mission. What was the mission? That's why they're called missionaries.
Right.
What was their mission?
Right.
What was the cause?
So, yeah, let's check this one out. This is the gang demands millions of dollars. This was on ABC News. Earlier today, actually.
But their organization, I went to their site, Mike, and they have buttons all over the site where you can give donations. So they should have enough money to get their own people. They shouldn't be asking the government or anybody else, the families of those people, to put up ransom on anybody. It should be that organization that sent them there.
I'm going to be honest, man. If they try to use taxpayers' dollars to do that,
that
man.
Gang demanding millions.
If they try to use taxpayers' dollars to do that, man, I would protest against that. I really would, because they wouldn't do that for us.
Mm-mm.
We'd just be 17 dead, you know what's over in Haiti.
Millions of dollars in ransom after kidnapping 17 missionaries in Haiti, 16 of them Americans. Now the U.S. State Department deploying a team to work with Haitian National Police in the negotiations to try and secure their release. The missionaries had been visiting an orphanage when abducted by the gang at a checkpoint during an airport run on Saturday. ABC News, Marcus Moore is on the ground with the latest for us in Haiti.
This morning, new reports that the kidnapping gang that abducted 17 missionaries is seeking $17 million, or $1 million per hostage, according to the Wall Street Journal. U.S. State Department officials on the ground as the crisis enters its fourth day.
This is something that we have treated as with the utmost priority since Saturday.
16 U.S. citizens, including 5 children and 1 Canadian, among those kidnapped at a checkpoint after visiting this orphanage. The group in Haiti on behalf of Christian Aid Ministries in Ohio. The organization putting out a statement saying, quote, we continue to monitor the situation closely and are in earnest prayer. A U.S. embassy official confirming to ABC News that the FBI has made contact with the gang known as 400 Mawozo, the gang considered one of the most dangerous in the country. As gangs control nearly half of the capital city, fear is consuming the country, felt by many, like Godwin, a missionary from Miami who's been in Haiti for the last 3 years.
People are being kidnapped left to right. But you were able to identify the people.
Why aren't they asking any Haitians? I don't give a fuck what a nigga from Miami talking about, how he feel over there. You see what I'm saying? Talk to some Haitians that live there.
And why did they take a 2-year-old with them too, Mike, is my question.
How many Haitian kids did they have at the checkpoint when they arrived at the checkpoint from the orphanage? See, I don't trust it one bit. You know, for a place to be ravaged by such disease and calamity as Haiti, these folks are always over there, but somehow they never really leave anything of any substance or infrastructure when they leave there. What are they in there? Right. What are they missionaries for? Why are they there? I've seen the food that y'all call so-called feed people, whatever it is, corn paste or oatmeal or whatever that stuff is that you're feeding people.
They take clothing to them, maybe? Were they going because of, I don't know.
Look, you can airdrop clothing.
That's true.
But let's be honest, man. Them folks got clothes. Them folks just need other people to stay out of their business. And that's been the story of Haiti since day one. Now, I'm going to get a little bit into the history of it. You know, I'm going to get a little bit into the history of it because I feel like people need to understand this in order to put it all together. And some people may understand it. Some people may not. So Stephen says, so the missionaries were riding around like it was America and didn't even know or care that people just got sent back. Right. Right.
Apparently they were oblivious to what's been going on.
First of all, if my folks were hit up under a damn bridge and ran back across the river with whips on by motherfuckers and horses, the last thing I want to see is your little blue-eyed, rosy-cheeked, freckle-faced ass showing up talking about mission and evangelizing.
Right.
You look like a check. You look like a big check. You know the cartoon where they start looking like they get hungry and they start looking at the other one and it look like a piece of ham? That's what you look like. You look like lunch meat to the hungry. Stay y'all ass from over there, man. Y'all don't want them folks over here. Y'all stay from over there.
And they only sent 17 people. Am I wrong for thinking that usually when they have missionary trips, it's more people than mostly adults?
You sent 12 adults and 5 kids.
And one of the kids was 2 years old, so I don't understand.
Correct. Hey, real dude uprising said, man, the missionaries could be good as gone. Absolutely.
Already, yeah.
Absolutely. And don't think if you don't pay these motherfuckers, they not going to kill these folks.
Because they're going to kill them. And might still kill them after they get the money.
Hey, Van said they ain't doing a damn thing. Anything to not help black kids in America. Shout out to that shit. See, everybody want to go all over the world and make pets out of the rest of the world and over-index in America where we getting treated like shit in the streets in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
Girls getting raped on trains while onlookers watch. You know, this is happening right here. So let's go on. Let's keep on going. It was an article in Forbes, and I'm sure a lot of people may or may not have known that Haiti had to pay France $21 billion to preserve its independence. So when Haiti claimed their independence in 1804, France made Haiti pay them reparations. Now, this is the current country, France, that we're very familiar with. So let's talk about this. Let's read this story. This was in Forbes. This was published December 6, 2017, and it was by Dan Sperling. And this is considered an opinion post, op-ed. So in 1825, Haiti paid France $21 billion to preserve its independence. Time for France to pay it back. That's his. So the devastation wreaked on Haiti by Hurricane Matthew last fall, this is 2016, is just the latest in a seemingly endless string of misfortunes that have befallen that country, which in March concluded a year-long interlude of caretaker government by installing banana exporter Jovenel Moïse as its 58th president. Moïse faces a daunting task. He didn't know what he was going to face at that point in time. We know what's since happened to Mr. Moïse. Haiti's chronic status as the Western Hemisphere's poorest nation is due to a litany of afflictions that range from widespread illiteracy to endemic corruption to woefully inadequate infrastructure. But while these would be hard enough for any country to overcome, for more than a century of its existence, Haiti carried an additional but little-known millstone, the effects of which are still being felt. In 1825, barely 2 decades after winning its independence against all odds, Haiti was forced to begin paying enormous reparations to the French slaveholders it had overthrown. Those payments would have been a staggering burden for any fledgling nation. But Haiti wasn't just any fledgling nation. It was a republic formed and led by blacks who had risen up against the institution of slavery. As much as Haiti's independence was viewed as a threat by all slave-owning countries, the United States included, in its very existence, rankled racist sensibilities globally. Because, you know, they said we couldn't do it. Thus, Haiti, tiny, impoverished, and all alone in a hostile world, had little choice but to accede to France's reparation demands, which were delivered to Port-au-Prince by a fleet of heavily armed warships in 1825. By complying with the ultimatum that amounted to extortion, Haiti gained immunity from French military invasion, relief from political and economic isolation, and a crippling debt that took 122 years to pay off. My father-in-law still recalls the patriotic song he was taught as a Haitian schoolboy, its poignant lyrics urging all Haitians to reach into their own pockets to help the government raise the amount that was still owed to France. Thanks to voluntary contributions from Haitian citizens, most of whom were desperately poor, the debt was finally settled in 1947. But decades after making regular payments had rendered the Haitian government chronically insolvent, helping to create a pervasive climate of instability from which the country still has not recovered. France's demand for reparations from Haiti seems comically outrageous today, equivalent to a kidnapper suing his escaped hostage for the cost of fixing the window that he had broken or that they broke during the escape. And though the present French government can't be blamed for the gall of Charles X, France's ruler in 1825, a modicum of historical accountability sure would be nice. While France still ranks among the world's wealthiest nations, Haiti, with a per capita income of $350, a power grid that fails on a regular basis, and a network of roads that's more than 50% unpaved, is plagued by drought, food shortages, and a struggling economy for the crime of shaking off the yoke of involuntary servitude. Haiti dutifully paid France reparations over... I lost my place. Hold on. I hate this. Yeah, Haiti dutifully paid France reparations over the course of nearly six generations with interest. Now, who got that interest? This is something Forbes isn't going to tell you.
Right.
America actually bought the rights in 1911 to collect the interest off Haiti. So not only did France have blood on its hands and extortion on its hands, America actually got in on the extortion. Look it up. Look it up. So it's something about Haiti. That's what it is about Haiti. See, when people say stuff like, oh, race doesn't matter, this isn't about race, this isn't that, they're a damn lie. And we should always remember that. A nation of slaves that kicked their oppressors' ass, got them up out of there.
Feel like they should have paid France shit for getting away.
Well, France need to pay it back, and somebody need to put some pressure on France.
Right.
Because France wouldn't be half as great as it was if they wouldn't have had slave colonies. Just like America wouldn't be what it was if they wouldn't have been a slave colony. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So just like America owes everything to us, which they do, France owes everything to Haiti and some of the other places that they took over in the Caribbean as well. France has a pretty vast empire. Still, to this day. There's still people that fly the French flag. Those are just my thoughts on it. I feel like Haiti's under attack. I really do. It's just, it's a slow, methodical attack. It's not just an all-out military rush, but I think we are getting closer to some kind of military action against Haiti, in which case it's going to be a slaughter. I hope this doesn't happen.
Me too.
As long as we're conscious, man, and we educate ourselves and become more conscious of these things, maybe that's something that Black Americans can do. Because 50% unpaved roads, I mean, that's a lot of poverty and it's a lot of crime, of course. But it's also a blank slate, a blank canvas to make something truly beautiful. It shares the same island as the Dominican Republic, but yet people don't go to Haiti to vacation. I'm sure the water's just as blue. How does this happen? Well, it may be separated by hills or mountains, I'm quite sure. But how does this happen? How can they not capitalize? Because something is keeping them from capitalizing. Man, I enjoyed this show tonight.
Yeah, it was a good conversation.
I enjoyed this show tonight. What's on your mind before we get up out of here, Ronnie?
Exactly what I said. We need to stay out of these other countries and fix what's happening at home.